lot of people don't know, but the First World War took place in this week's parsha. There was a huge battle between the four kings and the five kings. And the pasuk says the four kings won. And it says in the pasuk that they captured Lot and all his property, who was the nephew of Avram Avinu. And then there's an enigmatic word, Vayovo HaPolet, and the survivor came, Vayage La Avram HaIvri, and told Avram the Ivri that his nephew was captured. So Rashi brings from the Medrash that this was Og Melech HaBashan, the famous Og that you guys know probably from Parshas Noach. He was a survivor way back from the Mabul, and now he survived the war. And Rashi continues to say that he told him that his nephew was captured. Now, he had a diabolical plot over here. He wasn't the kindest fellow in the world. Rashi mentions, Umischaven sheyehoreg Avram v'yisa asara. He figured, if I could get Avram, his uncle, to go out to war, take on the Allied forces, he's not going to be able to take on the Allied forces. He'll die, and I can marry Sarah. All right. Avram Avinu goes with either 318 people or just Eliezer and defeats the Allied forces. Doesn't get to marry Sarah.
All right.
End of story. If you turn to Devarim, say for Devarim, where Moshe Rabbeinu describes the battle with Og Melech HaBashan, it says that Og went out, Huvo Chol Amo LaMilchama Edrei, Vayomer Hashem Elai Al Tira Oso. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, don't have trepidation about this guy Og. Now Rashi comments over there, Sichon was also a big tough guy, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu never calmed him down and said, don't be frightened. Why in particular, when it came to Og, did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to give him this special soothing message, Al Tira Oso? So Rashi says over there that Uvesichon lo hutzach lo ma Tira Oso, shelo misyore Hashem, shelo, because shehoye misyore Moshe, Moshe was afraid, shelo tamad lo zechus, that the merit that Og had of a Yavo HaPolet would stand him in good stead during this battle hundreds of years later. Now, you know, let's put it together. Rashi says that he came to tell Avram Avinu why? Because of nefarious thoughts. He wanted to take Sarah. All right, Moshe, hundreds of years later, is frightened by this Zechus. That's astounding. So what do we see from this, Parsha? What do we see if you put it together? That any small act you do, any small act you may do, if it turns out to be a favor, a chesed for someone, some kind of mitzvah, that schus is so powerful, so astounding, that hundreds of years later, it could protect you or your descendants. And Moshe Rabbeinu was frightened to do battle with Og and didn't want to do battle till HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, chill. It's over. You'll win the battle. You know, so you think to yourselves, all right, that happened thousands of years ago. Let me tell you a story, true story, that happened. This story happened. The story really begins in 1942. All right? True story about the concept that Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekapeach Schar Kol Beriya. Maybe you learned about this. Those who learn Shemos will learn. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never denies any Beriya, any creature, even animals, their true just reward. In 1942 in Krakow, Poland, all right, things were getting to be pretty tight. The noose was getting tighter and tighter around the Jews, and there was this family in Krakow, the Hillers, they had one child. His name was Shachna Hiller. And the Germans began to draft for work details all adults, and they weren't very interested in children. Basically, if you were a child, you would be killed. And as the situation deteriorated, the Hillers decided they have no choice, and they're going to have to give this kid away, which many people did, to a Gentile family. And they had good friends that were childless, and they decided to try to give their child Shachna to this family. It was quite dangerous to do it, but they had no choice. And they went to this lady, Mrs. Yachowitz, and a childless couple, and it's quite a drastic move, but unfortunately, that's what those times call for. And it was November 15th in 1942 where Mrs. Hiller went to this Yachowitz family and begged them to please take their child, and if we do survive the war, we would love to have him back, of course, and unfortunately, if we don't survive the war, then here are two letters. One letter is a letter addressed to Montreal, Canada. We have relatives. And in Washington, D.C. And please notify them that you've had our child all these years. And that's what they did. One can only imagine what the scene was like, giving up your child to this Gentile family. But that's what happened in the Holocaust. Anyway, Hashgacha had it, and the Hillers did not survive, unfortunately. And I'm sure this child had a rough time adjusting. You know, he was already approximately 6 years old. But slowly, children adapt, and over the years, he viewed these Yachowitzes as his parents. And Ms. Yachowitz did not keep really the request, and she was a religious Catholic, and she would bring this Shachna to church to Mass on Sunday, and Shachna would learn the Catholic hymns, and he was, for all intents and purposes, was a practicing Catholic. After the war, 1946 it was, Ms. Yachowitz decides, you know, this is my child already, and I want him to be a true Christian. So to be a true Christian, you have to be baptized. So she goes to her local parish and speaks to the priest and says, you know, I'd like to baptize my child. The priest asks her, he's about 10 years old, says, where were you till now? You know, finally she did her confessional and she said, you know, this is not really my child, this is a Jewish child, and they had left him here for me to raise them, and had asked me to remind him that he's Jewish, but I've had him all these years, I'm very attached to him, and I've adopted him, and I'd love to baptize him, he should be a real Christian. The parish priest says to her, Mrs. Yachowitz, that's really not moral, what you're doing. You took in this child from desperate parents, you promised them that you will raise him not as a Catholic, you will tell him he's Jewish, and after the war, you will notify the relatives. So, the priest really prevailed, and she changed her mind. And she decided that the moral thing to do was to send this child back to the relatives. And she sends this letter off to Canada and to Washington, D.C., there was a major custody battle after the war. Things, it wasn't so simple. Finally, in June of 1949, the Canadian Jewish Congress allowed and got permission for 1,300 orphans to come from Poland to Canada. It seems that that wasn't the best setting for him with the Montreal relatives. And subsequently, in February of 1951, There was a whole to-do about it, and Harry S. Truman actually signed a bill allowing the Shachna into the United States, and it made front page in the Washington Post. Now, he grew up with these relatives who were religious, and he became extremely successful. He was vice president of a corporation. He was a good guy. And being a good Jew, you have a sense of Hakaras HaTov, and he didn't forget about his foster parents, the Yachowitzes. And he used to always talk to them and write them letters and send them gifts and money. And he really, you know, did what he could do. In 1978, all right, he receives a letter from Mrs. Yachowitz telling him about the whole story. Now you're going to know the rest of the story. And tells this Shachna that when you were 10 years old, I wanted to baptize you. But my parish priest, and she names his name, and I looked it up, because Carl Joseph, I don't know the Polish spelling, Wojpalo, something like that, more commonly known as Pope John Paul II, he became the Pope, was the one as a young parish priest who told me that it was immoral to do what I did. When the Blujava Rebbe, Zichrono Livracha, heard about this, his comment was as follows. He said, we don't know Darkei Hashem, the ways of Hashem are hidden from us, but I would surmise that Pope John Paul II, for the chesed he did for this young Shachna, he was rewarded by becoming the greatest leader in the world of all Catholics. Because of that chesed that he did so long ago, he was zoche to become the Pope. So, kal vachomer, guys, we think sometimes, you know, Rav Moshe says in last week's parsha, Eila todos Noach, Noach is tzaddik. Who were the todos of Noach? Those were his masim tovim, says Rav Moshe, because our actions should be like our children. We don't despise or denigrate any child of ours. They're beloved to us. And we shouldn't think that the smallest thing we do, an Amen, a Yesh Me Rabba, a Baruch Uvar Shemo, an Ashiyotza, whatever it may be, we don't realize the long range effects of what we do. It may come back to help us, it may come back to help our children or grandchildren or great grandchildren. If our Kadosh Baruch Hu is paying back Og Melech HaBashan, and he's paying back Pope John Paul II, certainly he's going to pay us back, and you put on tefillin, and you daven b'kavana, don't ever denigrate or disparage any action you may do. Saying good morning to someone, helping someone out, making Kiddush Hashem are all things that stay forever. Have a good Shabbos.